Christmas to you all. And it's lovely to be in here in the warm, isn't it? I have to say. Got a few Christmas cards to begin with. And okay, so I think we could start with a Bible reading, Galatians 4:4. Should we just say this together? We should know this one, actually. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Galatians 4, verse 4. Do you know the right time? Timing is everything. The coming Messiah was prophesied many times in the Old Testament. People were no doubt impatient. You know, where is he? Where is he? In 400 years from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and not much seemed to happen. But actually, God was working. God was putting things in place. And with the, we know the Greece language, and Israel was having their hopes renewed every now and again, weren't they? And Rome were building their roads all over so that the message could be spread out far and wide very easily. And it wasn't just those things. Elizabeth's pregnancy with the one who would point the way to Jesus, the last great prophet, John the Baptist. And Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Mary becoming pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And then the Roman Emperor Augustus with his census. Had to just happen at just the right moment. Just the right time. And Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem. This was God's time, the right time. The very, very right time. You know, and the biggest power in the world was wrapped up in a tiny, vulnerable human baby. It's just amazing. It blows our minds. It blows my mind to just try and imagine these things. But it's all true and all wonderful. And we can be very, very thankful. So shall we take our hymn books? Well, we won't take our hymn books. We'll look at the screen and we'll stand to sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant. Okay, so I thought we'd have a little Christmas quiz here now. And very simple, and I'm sure you're going to be all standing up very quickly on this one. So it's just a nice little thing to do. So we will. This is a person, and so stand up when you think you know the answer. Who am I? I am the Lord's servant. A crowd kept me away. Well done. I went away for 3 months. I went to a wedding. I went to Jerusalem every year. I sang a magnificent song. My son was named on the eighth day. I asked, how will this be? John took care of me. I met Gabriel. A sword pierced my soul. I am related to Elizabeth. I pondered things in my heart. A virgin who gave birth. I am Mary. So well done. Yes, you're all great. And some wonderful things, isn't it? Would you have liked to have been Mary? You know, what a life. yeah, strange question, isn't it? There we go. So many interesting things happening to her there. Bit of responsibility there, I feel, that might be a little crushing for myself, at least. Anyway, we'll sing once more. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Can you imagine being an angel, seeing creation happen, and now you're singing, seeing the Messiah come to the earth, singing those songs about glory to God. Okay, well, let's stand and sing, shall we? Okay, thank you. So I've got a Bible reading now about the kings, and I think we got it on the screen, but I wondered, is there somebody, a volunteer, who would like to read it for me, save my little voice? Thank you, Gerald.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About this time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard of this, as everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least amongst the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for all my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It was went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened the treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
Okay, so now we're singing about the three kings. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel far. Okay, so I just want us to think about gifts and giving in a moment with those three kings in mind. The three kings are mostly remembered for their gifts, aren't they? We don't actually know it was three kings, but I think we do know it was three gifts. And so we jump to a bit of assumption to say there's three kings. Well, anyway, I just love this bit here in verse 11, the end of verse 11, and it says, then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, they brought along their treasure with them, and they opened their treasure chests at the sight of baby Jesus. And so they got the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all high-value items. We're probably not very familiar with some of those, apart from a bit of gold that a few of us might have for jewellery and whatever. But I'm sure we've all heard good sermons on the relevance to Jesus from these items. You know, gold is fit for a king. Frankincense used in worship and connection to God. Myrrh and embalming oil to do with death. Gift for a newborn baby? Maybe not if you're going to a baby shower. Maybe not a thing to take along, but this is what was done here. And so we see these gifts, high value, out of their treasure chests. But what about us? The question is, what are we going to give Jesus this Christmas? You know, we give presents to people who are important to us, those we love. But what do we give to Jesus? After all, it's his birthday we're celebrating, and he ought to be the center of that. We can discuss the date, you know, and come to various conclusions. But this is okay for me, I feel. But what are we going to give to Jesus? You know, what can we give to the creator of the universe? The one who sustains the whole lot. You know, Lois said about those stars in the sky. You know, we look up and we're filled with awe and wonder. What on earth can I give to the creator of the universe and the one who sustains the universe? You know, he doesn't need me. He's kind of self-sufficient already. He has what he needs. But I think there are a few things that we can actually give Jesus, which he doesn't have unless we do give it to him. And firstly, we can give Jesus our trust. Jesus doesn't have our trust unless we give it to him. The question, are we fully trusting Jesus? Or do we just have these little escape routes that we just kind of leave with the door just kind of open a little bit so that if everything else goes wrong, we can get out quickly? Do we trust Jesus with our whole well-being, with our whole existence? Do we really trust him? I do feel we can trust what Jesus tells us in the Bible. And it's just a little sort of silly little example. I remember years ago when, before I was married even, the cat would come and sit on your lap sometimes. And you knew that he was trusting you if he put his head down and curled up and went to sleep. You know, but if he sat there and he was looking around like this and looking at me you know, you'd think he's going to jump off in a minute because he's not happy. He's not trusting me. But when he curled up and put his head down, then I knew he was trusting me. And that was a nice feeling for me as a young guy then, that the cat was happy just sitting there. So it's a pretty weak example in that, but, you know, do we really trust Jesus with everything? Can we really lay our heads in his lap, as it were, and trust Jesus for our whole existence? Is Jesus first in your life? Or do we add Jesus to all of our other stuff? You know, we've got a nice car, we've got a nice house, we've got a nice something else. Do we just add Jesus as a nice something else? Or is he the first? Is he at the top of our thinking? Do we have a joint bank account with Jesus? I heard that joint bank accounts are out of favor these days. And there could be lack of trust, possibly. I've no idea. I'm just jumping in there in the dark. But, you know, are we willing to have this joint bank account with Jesus? Do we give Jesus our heart? That is, our heart is what we love. Those things that we value and care about the most. Matthew 26, verse 21, Jesus says, should we just say this together? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where our treasure is, you know, those treasure chests that we have metaphorically or physically even, is that the first in our lives, or are we able to put treasure in heaven as Jesus is advising us to do? Treasure in heaven. How can we put treasure in heaven? Somebody answer. How can we put treasure in heaven? What does that mean? It's a nice little phrase, isn't it? How can we put treasure in heaven?
Helping other people,
yeah, for no sort of reward ourselves, yeah. Yeah, it's a good... Anybody? Sorry? Pointing others to God, yeah.
Trusting in Jesus ourselves.
Trusting in Jesus, yeah, rather than ourselves. We're looking upwards, yeah. So, all those things we can do, we can put treasure in heaven, and... we can kind of have this joint bank account then, can't we? We're banking with Jesus. You know, actually, Jesus doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our flawed human efforts or even our time, because eternity belongs to him. But he does want and deserves those things that these things represent. That is our hearts, our devotion. You know, we've set aside an hour today to come here to worship him. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants our hearts, our devotion. And as Jill said, we can bring others to Jesus. We can talk about our faith to other people. It's not so, I don't find that easy at all. But we need to be doing this and laying ourselves open, because if the other people don't know about Jesus, they need to know, really, to be able to trust him themselves. And so we can point other people to Jesus. People need to recognize Jesus as the Savior and see their need to be saved. We've all offended a righteous God and need to be saved from the consequences of that. Well, you know, when we look around the world, it doesn't take a shrewd politician or anybody else to see that the world's gone mad. You know, and we can't trust the political policies that we see around us. We can't trust them to get us out of trouble. They can be very nice, higher wages, you know, fewer working hours, zero CO2 emissions and all that sort of thing. But they do tend to appeal to our selfish nature, all this stuff, don't they? And that's what the politicians are trying to do, I guess. They're trying to get our vote, and they need to butter us up a little bit, perhaps, for that. But, you know, we need a Savior who is outside of ourselves. If we just layer all these comfortable things upon us, you know, it's not going to get us very far. We need a Savior who is not like us. We do have a God-shaped hole in our hearts that needs to be filled by nothing other than God. And all those other desirable things, they're okay. But we need to be God-centered, Jesus-centered. And that's what's so lovely about Christmas, isn't it? Because it's all about Jesus coming to this earth as a saviour, wrapped up in a tiny little baby. But we know the story. We know he's going to grow. He's going to show us how to live on this earth. And he's going to be the sacrifice for our sins later on. He's going to be that new life. On Sunday, all being well with my throat, we'll be speaking about resurrection. Jesus giving us new life and being resurrected from the dead. And that is just amazing. Jesus sacrificed his life, but he didn't stay dead. He came back to life to be the first fruit of resurrection so that we can follow him later. And so as we enjoy Christmas celebrations, let's just make sure that Jesus is right there in the center. And so right now I'd like us to have a time of prayer. And we can pray about anything we'd wish to. I'll just mention a couple of people who are not very well today. I was planning to bring Ryan and Sydney here, but Ryan is really unwell. And so we can remember him. Lisa, too, who works for me, she was planning to come, but she's not well either. Does anybody else want to mention any things?
My dad is not well.
Oh, dear. I noticed he wasn't here, and I remember Bruce. We can pray for one another. We can other people are at family gatherings, I guess. We can pray for the world. We can just thank God for Jesus. So let's have this time of prayer now, when we can just remember that Jesus is our center. It needs to be our center, and we can just commit all these things to him. Let's pray. Us all here now. Amen. Okay, so we got one more Christmas carol to go. Well, shepherds watched their flocks by night, or seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. It was great the way those sheep scattered in the video, and the angels came. But the men didn't. You know, they were scared. The shepherds were scared, no doubt, but they hung around to get the message. And, you know, it's a lesson there for us, isn't it? We can be fearful, and we can be dreading certain things, but we need to hang around sometimes to get the message of Jesus and not be the message of fear to dominate. So shall we stand and sing while shepherds watch their flocks by night? Just repeat those words, Errol. Glory be to God on high. Lord, we want glory to go to you. We thank you for this, being able to celebrate Christmas. Thank you for our families where we can do that. Thank you, Lord, for one another, and for the Lord Jesus coming to this earth as a baby, and that we can remember that and be grateful. Be with us, Lord, as we part and go to our homes, and bless us, we pray. Amen.